Welcome back to the Dependency and Decaf podcast. I am Lillian Ketchum, and I am the host of this podcast, and let's just get right into this week's episode.
Oh, it is now episode 5 of the Dependency and Decaf podcast. I am so glad you are here, and if you're new here, I start every episode by sharing my recent coffee order. So I'm actually currently drinking one if you're watching on YouTube. Don't worry, it is decaf because it is 6:20 p.m. and it would be crazy if I was drinking caffeine. I have done that. Not a great idea. But my favorite coffee recently to make has been a brown sugar shaken espresso, kind of like the Starbucks ones that they make, except I have been using the Trader Joe's organic brown sugar that they have, and there's just something about the way that it tastes that's unlike any other brown sugar coffee, and that's all I put in it is just the brown sugar from Trader Joe's, and I shake it up, which is what I'm currently drinking, so cheers. But I want to get right into today's episode topic because it's something that I have personally been experiencing myself for quite some time, and so I'm feeling very convicted about this topic and very passionate about it as well. So let's just get right into prayer, and then we'll get into what the Lord has to say today. Holy Spirit, we just invite you in. We thank you for your goodness and for your intentionality in our lives. Lord, thank you for the ways that you never leave us and you never forsake us. Lord, that with you, our yoke is easy and our burden is light. Thank you for the truths of your word. Thank you for who you are. Lord, I pray that you speak to us today, that only your words are spoken, nothing more and nothing less. Be with us in this moment. Let your peace wash over us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if you saw the title of this episode, today's topic is when the answer isn't given. Now, I just want to ask you, have you ever been in a place where you're seeking the Lord, you're praying heavily, you're trusting, you're doing all the right things, but you feel like you're getting nowhere? What should we do in a situation like this? How do we continue to walk with the Lord when we're disappointed and we feel like nothing is changing? I may not have the answers that you're looking for, but I have been here for quite some time. And I feel like I've gained some potential advice, wisdom, and comfort that may help you through this season if you're in it, and for the future whenever it may come. Now, so many places in scripture, I can see people in this same place, not getting answers, feeling discouraged, disappointed, and even angry at the Lord. What is it that they did when they were in this place? What did they do in these situations that we can apply to ours? So let's dive into scripture. But even off the top of my head, I can think of scripture examples of people not getting answers right away. I think of Abraham and Sarah, Joseph in prison, the Israelites in the promised land, Job and his suffering, David waiting to be king, Daniel waiting for breakthrough, and even Jesus waiting to begin his ministry. There are so many examples, so do we know how to wait? I want to take a look at one of these stories specifically and examine how this person waits and what we can apply to our lives from them, and even what not to apply. So I want to look at the story of Job and his story of waiting through intense suffering. So for those of you who don't know the story of Job, he was in a situation, he was content in his life, he had his wife, he had his children, he had his home, he had his cattle, anything he could have wanted. And Satan sees Job and speaks with God about the manner of his living situation and how it's obvious that Job is seeking the Lord because he's content and has everything that he could imagine. And so Satan is like, well, let me get rid of all of these things that he has and see if he still chooses you when he has nothing. In this situation, God agrees, but he mentions that the one thing that Satan can't take is Job's relationship with God and Job's spirit. So the enemy moves forward with what he thinks is a master plan and takes everything away from Job, his family, his cattle, etc. And see, here Job's first response in his losses is to seek God. He sits with the Lord and pours his sorrows at the Lord's feet. He doesn't run away. He doesn't blame God. He doesn't blame himself or begin doubting his goodness. He doesn't doubt God's goodness. He sits with God. Job obviously has questions, but he doesn't bring those to the table until after he sat with the Lord and laid his grief and sorrows at his feet. Now, imagine you were Job. What would your first response have been? Would it have been hating yourself, shutting yourself away, blaming yourself, isolation, pushing God away, running away, not processing the issue, pushing down emotions, running to something worldly to cover it up? Or what if you're in the same shoes as Job right now? What if you're currently trying to process grief, a loss, things not going as planned, but don't know how to do it with God? What is your response? Let me leave you with a statement to consider after these questions. Obedience through grief leads to deliverance. Obedience through grief leads to deliverance. But see, Job has questions too, like we all do. When things aren't adding up, when they aren't making sense or going as planned, we all have questions. Naturally, Job begins questioning everything. If he did something wrong, if he didn't do something, if it's a test, what's the meaning, etc., etc. Job seeks guidance from his friends, but they're all just left with more questions than they began. Why doesn't Job find an answer to his questions? Isn't God all-knowing? Couldn't he answer all these questions? Why can't Job and his companions seem to find an answer? What if they weren't finding answers because they were asking the wrong questions? What if God was withholding the answers Job was searching for so Job would find his satisfaction and peace in God rather than in the answers? See, God eventually answers Job, but not in the way I'm sure he was expecting. Honestly, God kind of roasted Job and left him speechless. I mean, as he should. God quite literally begins spitting bars at Job, saying, "Job, where were you when I formed the earth and the seas and the stars?" And he goes on this rampage for chapters. He goes through every part of creation that God made. He's pointing out to Job that Job knows nothing compared to what God knows, the creator of all the universe. That an answer shouldn't be what Job should be seeking, but rather just peace in God through the season. See, the more that we search for answers, the more that we torture ourselves. If God wanted to give us an answer, he would. So instead of guessing why there isn't an answer, ask God what he's trying to teach you through this season and what you should be searching for instead of this answer. Now, I'm not speaking from a place of someone who has it all together and who has never experienced hurt, loss, grief, suffering. Honestly, I'm here right now, and I have been for months, so I can testify the truths of Job's story and what God was doing through it. I have so much more peace and joy in my walk with God since I've let go of my plans, in my need for control, in my need for understanding, and my anger for not knowing. This journey has allowed me to see God in new ways, otherwise not possible. I've been able to place God as Lord over all, like he truly is and he deserves to be. See, when you let go of your need for answers, you're met with a God who has it all planned out for you, better than you could have ever imagined. You're met with the King of the universe, the one who formed the stars and the oceans, the one who already knows it all. Therefore, we don't have to. So I encourage you to let go of your grip on searching for answers today and release yourself into the Father's arms, knowing he's holding on to everything that needs to be held and is working behind the scenes. Now, let's look at Job's breakthrough after God's answer. How did he get to that point? What did God do? What did Job do? What can we learn from this story for our unanswered questions? In Job 43 through 5, Job responds to the Lord after the Lord was going off and saying, "You weren't here when I made this. You weren't here when I made this." And this is Job's answer to the Lord. Again, in Job 43 through 5, he says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'Behold, I am of small amount. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once and I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further.'" So Job is literally left speechless to the point where he says, "God, I don't know why I even said anything. I said too much, and moving forward, I'm not going to say anything, and I'm just going to trust you." This brought him to a point of surrender with the Lord. So the Lord ended up giving Job twice as much as he had before after this moment. He gave Job more children, and Job even lived 140 years after these blessings. But what happened in between? Job went from searching for answers to humbling himself before the Lord, repenting and allowing the Lord to have his way in Job, instead of trying to figure it out himself anymore. After Job surrendered, repented, and placed the Lord in his rightful place as an all-knowing God, ruler of all, despite what Job had. The Lord needed to get Job to that point with him despite what he had. God was over it all. Regardless of what he had, God was all-knowing, controlling, and powerful. See, unanswered questions, waiting, and trials all reveal the character of God and allow us to understand him in ways that we wouldn't be able to experience without those seasons. Unanswered questions show us that God is always the true and final answer. You learn more about God through the delay than you do in the deliverance. Because Job was able to reach a point of surrender with the Lord, a place of true exaltation of the Lord, all because of his suffering. God knows more than we ever can or will about ourselves. So take heart and be encouraged through this season, and see what new ways you can experience the Lord in your life through this time that you otherwise wouldn't be able to. This unanswered question you have might just be what leads you to that breakthrough you've been seeking for years. It might just lead you to a place with God you've never experienced before. The enemy wants us to see no purpose in our suffering. But when we suffer with God, we suffer with purpose. The moment we suffer without him is the moment we lose purpose in it. See, God is incredible in the way he uses everything, every part of our story and lives for something, so that we can find joy through the suffering because we know that God will use it. See, there's this analogy of a person who is putting every moment of their life into these garbage bags. And they're putting the garbage bags outside of the garage and they're cleaning out the garage. And the enemy, Satan, tries to come up to one of the garbage bags and take them away. But then God stops him and says, "No, that belongs to me. I'm going to use that." And so I want you to be encouraged in knowing that every part of your story God is going to use. The parts that you don't see worthy, that you don't see necessary, the parts that you're discouraged about, and the parts that nobody has seen, God is still going to use those. And again, that's why we can find joy in our suffering, because we can know that God is going to use it for him. So the next time that your answer isn't given, know that it could be right in front of you if you allow God to move how he wants to and you allow yourself to step out of the way. And remember, obedience through grief leads to deliverance. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the ways that you don't let anything go unused in our lives. Lord, thank you for the joy that comes with that statement, that comes with that truth. Lord, I just pray that whoever's listening, that you would reveal yourself to them in new ways through wherever they're at right now, Lord. That you would speak new truths over them, that you would sing new songs over them, that they would experience you in a deeper and profound way. Would you just have Allow them to have a revelation of you, Lord. Would you pour your Holy Spirit over them? God, would you guide them? Would you give them wisdom? Would you give them strength? Would you give them provision? Would you be everything that they need you to be through this season, Lord? Take them deeper with you, God. Let them fall more in love with you through this hurt. Would they find strength and purpose and encouragement through what they're going through, Lord? I pray that these words wouldn't just be spoken once and forgotten, but that the truth of this word would settle in their hearts, and it would be the strength that keeps them going when things get hard. Thank you for not leaving us high and dry when we're struggling, but for meeting us right where we're at. You're God who meets us where we're at. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and for carrying us through when we don't see the way out. In Jesus' name, amen.